All right, let's get to our guest for today's show. Again, I've been pubbing his introduction for a long time now. Michael Lynn III, former Lansing Catholic football player. Also, he played at, I believe he transferred to J.W. Sexton High School. And he's now playing some college football, which we'll get to in just a moment. But we invite Mike to the show to talk about a really cool invitation, you know, which him and a few of his teammates were invited to the presidential Democratic debates in Detroit, downtown Detroit at Fox Theater last week. Michael Lynn III. Mike, what's up, man?
What's good?
Always good hearing from you, dude. And first off, I want to just dive into how did this invitation come about from presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke?
Yeah. Honestly, my mom walked in my room one day and was like, "Hey, did you see your text?" And I was like, "No." And she said, "I texted you." So I looked at it, and it was the invitation. She screenshotted it. So I don't know what it's called, a campaign manager. Beto's campaign manager reached out to my mom and was like, "Hey, we've heard about your son's story, blah, blah, blah. Beto actually, like, feels a way about this. He would like to speak to them." So it initially was just a phone call. It was just a conference call with Beto. And then I want to say either right before the call or during the call, they decided, like, "Hey, we're going to invite them." So, yeah, it all happened within the span of, like, a week.
Wow, that is amazing. So your mom tells you, and then there's a conference call that happens with Beto on the other line. How was the conference call set up? So it was you and what other three teammates? I don't have the press release right in front of me right now, but what other teammates were a part of this as well, Mike?
It was Matthew and I want to say Rosé was on the call, and Rosé's mother, Matthew's parents, and my parents.
Gotcha. So you all are on this conference call, and what's being said on the conference call, and what did Beto tell you guys?
He just gave us, like, words of affirmation and was just like, you know, "You're doing the right thing. You did the right thing." Previously, I watched the video of Beto at the rally where he speaks on it, so we just talked about that for a second. And then he just asked, like, how the climate with our, like, peers, our classmates and stuff, how that was. Obviously, we were truthful with him, especially about, like, you know, the negative parts about it. But, yeah, it was brief. It was, like, 15 minutes, because that's all his schedule allotted for. But, yeah, it was cool.
So after speaking with Beto, what happens from there, Mike?
His campaign manager stayed on the phone. I think Beto had to run somewhere, but his campaign manager stayed on the phone. He told us, like, the itinerary for the debate and, like, what he was going to send us and stuff, where to get our tickets and stuff. And then he just asked us, like, if we had any more questions. If not, he's going to be happy to see us.
So you all get invited to, I believe it was night one, right, of the presidential Democratic debates at Fox Theater downtown Detroit last week. That Tuesday, yeah. Did you guys meet with him? When did you guys meet with him? Was it that day or was it the day before or what?
You mean when did we do the call with him, or, like, did we physically meet him?
Because you guys went, did you guys physically meet him? I thought you guys went down to Fox Theater.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about that. When you guys went there physically to Fox Theater, did you guys meet with him in person?
Yeah, we met with him afterwards.
Take me through that experience, the drive there, what happens when you get there. Give us all the details of that trip.
Okay, for sure. The drive there, it turns into, on one highway, it turns into, like, five lanes, and there was so much traffic, it was crazy. And, like, I guess, like, because I've always watched the debate, like, since I was, like 13, 12, I've watched it online or on TV just to, like, see. I've never seen how many people are actually there. So, like, there was a lot of traffic. We get down to downtown Detroit, and there's nowhere to park because there's so many people. So we had to park in a parking garage, and then we walked. And, like, there's so many police. There's so many people walking around. It was like being out, like, outside of the Super Bowl or something. There's so many people. Except instead of jerseys, they were wearing suits. Yeah. But, yeah. so then there was this really long line you had to wait in, and it kept, like, snaking back and forth. Then we finally got inside, and the inside of Fox Theater is beautiful. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful venue. The art on it, just everything, it's beautiful.
Right.
Right. And then we got seated. They introduced all the candidates, and everyone got they got a chance to like give their opening statements, opening stuff, and then it was underway.
Definitely. And where were you guys sitting at?
We sat so there's the bowl downstairs, and then there's upstairs, and then in the bowl downstairs, it's split into like two sections of like basically like the front and the back. The front was all like, I want to say like Al Sharpton was up in the front. So it was all like VIP.
Yeah.
But we were like right behind the front. So I'd say the middle, I guess, if that, yeah.
Right. Cause you guys are VIP as well. I mean, Beto O'Rourke, he reaches out to you personally and says, hey, come on down. So I'm not surprised you guys are behind like Al Sharpton. So that's awesome stuff. So the debate happens. We watch that on television. After the debate, that's when you got the chance to actually meet in person Beto O'Rourke. Take us through that. Yep. Paint that picture for us.
So Beto is around like 6'4". He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So we could see him because afterwards, they all come down to like take pictures and talk to their supporters and stuff, and they kind of get lost. But Beto, we did not lose him because he's very tall man. we walk up, and my dad's like, "Hey, this is Michael Lynn, and the boys. You invited us." And he's like, "Yeah, I recognize you. I recognize your voice." He's like, "Yeah, come on." So then we go take the picture, and then like everyone was trying to like push through to get a picture, but he wasn't done talking. So we kind of held everyone up, but Beto was just like talking to us, and he was like, "I believe you have like a bright future. I believe at your age, I believe you have a bright future ahead of you. Intellectually, I think you're going to do a lot of good things." And then people were like trying to push fast to get more pictures, but he was going to say what he had to say. That was pretty cool.
That's absolutely awesome stuff. And again, we're speaking with Michael Lynn III, ex-Lansing Catholic football players, who decided to take a knee during the national anthem. We had you guys on the show. I remember that day, that week that we had yourself, and I believe Matthew Abdullah was on the show as well, Roger Williams. Yeah. You guys were invited out there. Kabosh Richards, he also was invited, but he couldn't attend because he's away at college, right? He was just too far away, right, Mike?
He's at Eastern Kentucky. He's playing football.
And you're playing at Concordia, right? In Ann Arbor?
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. And, you know, this was just 2 years ago, you know, 2017, when you decided to make this decision. I just want to go back, you know, to that moment just for a minute, Mike. As you reflect on it, being 2 years ago now, time flies. I can't believe it's been 2 years since that moment.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Time just flies when you get older, dude. But when you reflect on that moment, what does it mean to you now? You know, when you look back at all the controversy and the backlash that you got from other administrators at the school and maybe other teachers and, you know, Jim Ahern, former coach, and you decide to transfer to J.W. Sexton, but when you look back at that, what does that moment mean to you now today?
So in trying times, I believe people don't either trust or understand how strong they can be and how strong they are. So when I first transferred to Lansing Catholic, I was a new kid. I was a black sheep. I was like literally, I came from Sexton. I don't know if they've ever had even a kid transfer from Sexton or any school like of the likes. And then I was all over TV, you know, playing football. I was like, I was the quarterback. I'm coming in to take spots, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I felt like a black sheep. Like I felt like I stood out. I felt like people wanted me to stand out. And at the same time, I'm 16. I was either 15 or 16. I'm like, I just want to fit in. Fast forward, you know, when I decided to take the knee, I don't think I really knew just how strong I could be emotionally, mentally to go through that because at 16 or 17, at 17 when I did it, it's hard to have adults trashing you online in your face. It's hard to like, I remember at halftime at one of my games, it was either halftime or after the game, like I was walking back to the locker room and a grown man lunged at me. Like, I'm not scared of nobody. I would have like, if it was a different situation, I would have, you know, handled it correctly. But at the same time, I'm 17 at my football game. I should be safe, but I wasn't. luckily, like, he didn't get a hold of me or anything. The police grabbed him, but I just remember thinking, like, holy crap, that just happened. Now, you know, at 19, I'll be 20 in a couple months. I'm thinking about it, like, you know, I was really strong. I didn't know I could be that strong. I didn't know what it would have taken to go through that. But, I mean, like, I'm glad I did. I'm very glad I did. Thinking about it, you know, I literally think about that all the time, that it was 2 years ago. It seems like it was so short ago, but it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I literally think about it all the time, like, holy crap, like, I did that. We did that.
I know it's an incredibly, you know, proud moment for you, and something that you're going to be telling your grandkids, you know, years and years down the road about. And the fact that, you know, a grown man lunges at you, you're getting messages on social media. What kind of messages did you receive? You know, as a 17-year-old young man, what kind of messages were you getting at that time, Mike, when you decided to do this?
So is this like a family-friendly airwave? Because a lot of the things I was hearing were not, you should not be saying to a kid, let alone anybody.
Right.
I mean, I won't go into, basically just a lot of like, if you don't like it, go back. A lot of, you know, primate jokes and stuff like that.
Wow.
Especially in, and I mean, they're going to hate me. They already hate me. I call them out about it every time. If you're a racist, I'm going to call you out.
Right.
Especially playing football in Portland and in the city. That's where it was the worst for sure. And I mean, I'm not generalizing an entire city, because I know that my cousin used to live in Portland and he's not a bad person. I'm just saying that's where it was the worst. I remember kneeling out there and having people screaming from the stands during the anthem. And I remember thinking, like, yo, if us kneeling silently during the anthem is disrespectful, what is you screaming profanities? And you know, what is that? Is that also disrespectful? It's been... But yeah, it was a lot of stuff like that. People tried to go really deep, like daggery at me, and like, well, he's not that good anyways, so who cares? I'm like, I mean, I could be a third string punter for all I care. I still have to say.
That's right. That's right. We all have a voice here in America, man. And I'm curious, now that you've you know, taken your talents to Concordia and you're playing college ball now in Ann Arbor, have you continued to kneel out there before games?
No, I actually transferred. I don't play football anymore.
Where'd you transfer to?
Washtenaw. It's about 10 minutes away.
So football is done. The dream of football is in the bag now.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome stuff for you, man. As you you know, move on and, you know, to the next chapter of your life. What's the goals now, then, Mike?
That's how I feel. You said what's the goals?
Yeah. What are you studying, and what do you want to do?
I'm still studying business. I want to get my associate's and then go on and get my bachelor's and then get my master's after that. But yeah, I mean, like, I've played football since I was 6 years old. I played quarterback since I was six. Yeah. I'm 19. That's 13 years. I've played the same position, same game. I felt like I went to college to get the degree and it wasn't to play football. And I think the first year I really switched those up. I really got my mind and my priorities cluttered. There's no saying, you know, if I'll go back or not, but I just know as of right now, my priorities need to be school. And that's, you know, that's that. At the end of the day, that's what I need to do. So
definitely, man.
I mean, it sucks, but at the same time, I feel really good about it just because I know how well I can do in the classroom, how good of a student I can be when I actually prioritize, you know, making sure I'm studying as much as I need to. I mean, when teachers tell you on the syllabus you're going to have to spend at least 30 to 35 hours a week studying, they mean it.
Preach on, brother. Yeah, I did a 4-year degree here at Michigan State, and I get it, man. I get it.
Yeah.
And for you, what are you studying again, Mike, real quick?
I'm studying business.
Business. You're studying business. That's awesome stuff. All right, with 30 seconds left, Mike, just real briefly, how did that moment change your life?
Oh,
I know it's tough to do in 30 seconds. I know.
Yeah. Holy crap. it changed my life. I mean, it made me officially, you know, what I am. I'd always been like on the sideline hating on how I was being treated or how people were treating us. It basically made me like who I am, what I am. If you have a story, you can tell me. I'm not afraid to speak up. I think that's the best way to put it. I'm not afraid to speak up about anything, anywhere, anybody.
Mike, we wish you all the best, and we definitely have to, down the road, get you back on Current Sports and keep us updated, man, on all of your triumphs in the classroom as well. That's awesome stuff, and congratulations to you all, yourself and Matthew Abdullah, Rojay Williams, Kabosh Richards, as you all are again, continuing to write new chapters in this book of life that we call it, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Michael in the third. Thanks so much, Mike.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
You got it, man. That takes a lot of courage. A lot of courage. And, I mean, what really gets me in the trying time that we live in today, where, you can't turn on the news without hearing some story that turns your stomach, without hearing another story of racism and inequality here in America, to stand up as a young man at 17 years old, deciding to take a stand like that, knowing that you're going to get backlash, you're going to get grown men lunging at you and calling you racist names, to deal with that at that young age. Michael in the third has one bright future, I tell you that.